From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Folks, I'm ready to buy a house, mentally at least. I'm waiting for the right time to leave that renter's life behind. You know, no more landlords, no worry of rent increases or losing deposits. I can play my music as loud as I want. It's not easy, especially for people of color, but it's a dream that many of us are working towards. And that brings us to today's show. We're talking about housing with our guest, Javier Marin. He's the CEO and publisher of El Planeta, Boston's leading Spanish language publication. And he has a couple stories to share about both the successes and challenges Latinos face when it comes to housing. And he is here with us now. Javier, thank you for coming by. How are you feeling today?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about El Planeta.
It's a Spanish newspaper in the Massachusetts area, and a lot of our content is related to the happenings on the Latino community inside the urban areas, but also sometimes national and sports and all other topics.
Okay.
But it has been in the market since 2003 when I found it.
You're coming up on a big anniversary.
Yes, and it used to be the regular newspaper that we were used to, you know, old school, still printing. But as any other media outlets, it has evolved into many different platforms.
Awesome. And so, you know, we're here because there's a couple stories that came from El Planeta we wanted to talk about from your reporter, Jeanette Santana. And she reported on a story about the increase in home ownership among Latinos. Can you talk about the significance of this?
Yes. You know, we are by nature optimists. And even though in the current economic environment, our community is ready for opportunities.
Right.
And as you can see, the data and this wonderful work done by Jeanette, the numbers of houses being purchased by our audience has been increasing on big numbers. It doesn't mean that we are growing that much in terms of numbers of people. Mm-hmm. Is the purchasing capacity and also diversity in the marketplace.
Right.
So before, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, it was difficult for a person with difficulties with the language to find a good mortgage or a good mortgage broker or a banker that would understand our situation. The same as real estate brokers. So diversity in the marketplace, and especially in Massachusetts, has grown exponentially in the last 4 to 5 years. Now you can see, you know, 1 out of 5 employees in a real estate agency is Spanish-speaking. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Latino, Spanish-speaking. And the same in the banking lending departments. If we talk about authorities and political leadership, also we are being a little more represented now compared with before. All those factors affect the possibility for us to fulfill that dream.
It's a big deal, especially in this housing market.
Especially in this pricing housing market, yes.
And how often does discrimination come up in that conversation?
It's improving, but still happening. 4 or 5 years ago, which is nothing, right? Mm. There was completely discrimination. Let's call it racism, because if you had a different, not only color of skin, if you were a professional from a university in Colombia or in El Salvador, it was just considered no education. Believe me. I mean, people will just scratch that. And so that's also part of discrimination that happens in the past. It has improved, but it has to improve more. It has improved only in the cities and marketplaces where diversity has been embraced.
And I think you touched on this a little bit before, you know, Boston is a very expensive city if you're thinking about buying a house, right? Where are they buying homes?
Yes, there has been, depending on the level of income, of household income, there have been a dramatic gentrification in certain areas of Boston. And people are being, eager to go and buy a bigger house instead of, you know, being maybe rented in a very small apartment in the urban area. And considering public transportation, and so Randolph, Brockton, Framingham, Dedham, Milton, Mattapan, Malden, all those areas, I'm sure you're listening to more Spanish than before.
as awesome as it is to buy a home, you know, as much of a milestone that that is, it's also a major responsibility. What kind of support is out there for Latino home buyers to keep them in their homes?
That's a great question, Darrell. And there is new entities coming into flourishing right now with grassroots community organizations. I mean, in Chelsea, we have La Colaborativa. And not only that, there are entities that have been providing housing literacy mm-hmm. now in Spanish and now with people that speak Spanish too and understand our culture. So I would say there are each city have different ones. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we always amaze is seeing, for example, our mayor in Boston speaking Spanish to yeah. us. And she is even explaining in our own language what are the facilities that we can approach in order to get, you know, a better mortgage or help for a first-time buyer.
Got it. Now, there's a flip side to this because we are talking about housing. And, you know, the other side of that is renting. And Jeanette also wrote a story about how Latinos in East Boston, well, the community of East Boston and Chelsea, where there is a large Latino population, where that community is fighting against raising rents and evictions by landlords and developers. Can you talk to us about that?
Everybody knows that East Boston is living a gentrification. Mm-hmm. And there is a very difficult topic. So there is people asking for a fair way of doing this displacement, mm-hmm. if there is going to be a displacement. Before, there was no way to have a voice. Right now, there have to be a voice, and the politically elected people and the bankers and the developers cannot be deaf to this type of claiming from the people to have a good standard of living. Some of them have been for decades, for even second generation of Colombians in East Boston. And so you can just not tell the people your rent increased double and you either leave and when they have been living there for all their life. So that's when you need your politically elected officials to, you know, fight for you and also banks and developers to understand. And this is happening in the whole country.
Yep.
So they have to be dialogue and we still need more representation. This city is still not represented by its demography.
Right. And to that point, is there anything being done to address this? Because this is, you know, East Boston, but this is also a citywide problem. You know, rents are going up everywhere. And, you know, yeah, are you seeing anything, any kind of progress at all?
Very little. Very little. There is still a lot of people with uncertain future. And if this is not worked properly, it could be a turmoil, a social disruption. Because this is not the same community as before. This is community with purchasing power. This is community with education. And this is community that understand their rights to claim for a better living. And these are parents fighting for their kids to keep being in good schools. Mm-hmm. And these are grandparents making sure that their savings are well managed. And now that this city is more culturally flexible, we see them very optimistic.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess my last question on this is what's next for that community? You know, the story was about a march. How are they planning to get some advocacy from the public officials and the people in power?
That's a good question and also difficult to answer, especially if we talk about Boston. We need more political representation in order to get a more optimistic and short positive outcome. In Boston, we only have two city councils, Julia Mejia and Ricardo Arroyo. And we do have a mayor that's pro-immigrant and polylinguistic mayor. Oh, by the way, El Planeta is a good channel. It's the best channel of the voice of Latinos, documented or non-documented, in the East Boston, have a hope because we're there. Mm-hmm. And we are there for them. And that's at least is a positive point, but still a difficult topic Boston-wise.
I hear that. Javier, thank you for breaking this down. We have to take a quick break, and then I have one more question for you. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so for my last question, you know, for folks like myself who are new to the city, how can they avoid being part of the problem? Or how do I just be a good neighbor? You know what I'm saying? I think that's what I'm asking. Like, how do I be, if I'm moving to this city and I know that there's a housing and gentrification problem, you know, what are some of the things I should be thinking about?
Yes. Well, you have a luxury job, which is you work for a media that everyone in the city listens to. Mm-hmm. So you can perceive the feeling of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the perfect, WBUR is the perfect place to understand how does it feel to live in X neighborhood, mm-hmm. being, you know, a minority, part of a family. So my recommendation is for any young people or newcomer to the city to learn, to listen to WBUR, of course, and learn the happenings in the city and understand where are, you know, the old fighters, negatively speaking. So the people that still think that we should be wiped out of the city. Mm-hmm. And because there are leaders in all the industries, in all the political areas. Don't take me wrong. There are. Boston, the racist, famous Boston is still there.
Yeah.
But now the reality is different. The labor in this city is 50% of color. 50%. I'm not talking about residents. The labor. So that means that without us, this city just don't move. A good example is the food situation. We have another article in El Planeta, written, by the way, by Janet as well. Mm-hmm. When you used to see the fight for the food deficiencies in the city in the, you know, in the old times, there was always white people, you know, leading the voice of these are the solutions. This is what we need to do. I'll give you an example of a few weeks ago. The Project Bread representative, Catalina Lopez, Latina. The Congresswoman representative, Ayanna Pressley, African-American. And the city council, Erin Murphy, white. So that's the representation of the city, and that's how everybody will believe and trust. If you look at those areas, who are your leaders and who are the, you know, the people, the labor, that's when I would say you will feel better.
Understood. And that's a big deal because, you know, outside of the area, a lot of people think of Boston as this white, racist place, hostile, but you know, people of color here, black people, Latino people, Asian people, like people here are thriving and are fighting back against some of these forces.
Yes.
Javier, thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Thank you, Darryl. Thank you for having me.
That's Javier Marin, CEO and publisher of El Planeta. The stories we discussed today were written and reported by El Planeta's Jeanette D. Santana. You can find those stories and more El Planeta journalism at elplaneta.com. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design from Emily Jankowski and Matt Reed. It was edited by Amory Sievertson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Darryl C. Murphy. Hey, obviously you're a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts and culture, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.